Hello, everyone listening online. Stuart and Jody here again from Carey Baptist Church in Moulton. A welcome to our church family and a welcome to our more global family of friends and listeners who listen in online. Let's commit this time into God's care. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we each participate in this act of worship, that you would come afresh to us by your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us by your word and through what's said and through the prayers and the reading, and that you would touch and minister and challenge and encourage each one of us in our homes. We offer you this time. We offer you our attention. We offer you our love in Jesus' name. Amen. Jody's going to come now and read our reading, which is from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11.
It's titled, Jesus Comes to Jerusalem as King. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're doing this, say, The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, What are you doing, untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Thank you, Jody. And let us pray. Father, we thank you for this recording by Mark of that first entry into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. Help us to interpret this passage and reflect on what it may mean for us in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Palm Sunday is so familiar that it's difficult to get a new angle on it. I can't think of how many times I've preached on Palm Sunday, and it can become so familiar that we don't capture what it is trying to say to us. But in our context at the moment of restrictions due to the pandemic, would it even be allowed to go ahead? Would it be legal for Jesus to have such a gathering? In our news in recent weeks, we've had a few demonstrations recently, and there's been clashes with the police. We think of the Sarah Everard vigil, of that woman who was killed and how that developed into clashes with the police. Or we also think of the riot in Bristol where people were protesting about the new police bill and the restrictions involved with that. Now, what does Jesus's entry into Jerusalem have to say about protests today? Jesus's entry into Jerusalem was a pre-planned piece of street theatre. We can see that he pre-planned it because he asks his two of his disciples to go into a village ahead of them to get a colt and to bring it back. So he's obviously pre-arranged with the owner of that colt to do this. So Jesus has thought about how he wants to enter into Jerusalem. It's not just a off-the-cuff thing, but something that he's thought about. And it is a prophetic act that challenged both Roman and Jewish understandings of power and what the Messiah what a king really looked like. Jesus knew that his people, the Messiah that they were expecting, was a Messiah in the line of King David, a warrior king who would kick out the Romans and re-establish Jewish independence and Israel as a free state, so to speak. We can see in their chants in verse 9 where they shout, Hosanna. Now we think of Hosanna as a praise song or something like, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, etc. But Hosanna actually is more of a cry of, save us now. It's what an oppressed people would shout out to God. Save us now, set us free. And then he says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. So they're expecting someone who will come as a liberator, warrior king like David did to set them free from the Romans. But Jesus comes into Jerusalem not on a war horse, armed with a big army to fight the Romans. But he comes on a young colt, a young donkey, with a ragtag bag of followers, of peasants and failed revolutionaries and ex-tax collectors and ex-prostitutes, and is hardly a fighting force, hardly a threat to the great empire, who at roughly the same time would be entering Jerusalem about the same time from the opposite side, from the west. So during the feast of Passover, the Roman garrison and the Romans would enter Jerusalem because it was a volatile time. If you think about the first Passover, it was about liberation from slavery. So often there was revolts at this time of year. They would bring in a big cohort of soldiers to keep the peace and to police everything. Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan have a really good book called The Last Week, which looks at the final week of Jesus' life in Jerusalem. And they say this about the arrival of the imperial procession. Imagine the imperial procession's arrival in the city, a visual panoply of imperial power, cavalry on horses, foot soldiers, leather armor, helmets, weapons, banners, gold eagles mounted on poles, sun glistening on metal and gold, the sounds, the marching of feet, the creaking of leather, the clinking of bridles, the beating of drums, the swirling of dust. The eyes of the silent onlookers, some curious, some awed, some resentful. So you get a sense of the picture here, the Romans coming in with all their military power to keep the peace during this time of potential unrest and revolt. And Jesus is coming in from the opposite direction, coming in from the east. And it's like a counter procession, a parody of Roman pomp and military might and power, the exact opposite. Think of Jesus on a donkey versus the Roman legions coming in on their war horses and their stallions and their marching. And it's almost comical, the comparison, the one with the other. But why did Jesus choose a donkey? Seems a strange mode of transport. He chose a donkey as an echo of the prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And the other Gospels bring this out more fully than Mark. But it says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion, shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So Jesus is drawing together echoes of this prophecy, saying that this now is coming true in your presence. And what does this Messiah on a donkey come to do? In the next verse, chapter 9, verse 10, it says, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem. The battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. He will extend, his rule will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. So we have a promise here, a promise of peace and a promise of an end to war. Jesus is coming to bring peace, but the people aren't ready for it. His own people weren't ready for it. And the Romans certainly weren't ready for it. And ultimately, he would make peace, not by military conquest, but by laying down his life in surrender upon the cross. A crucified Messiah. A strange way to reign as king, a strange way to bring peace. We know the end of the story, and it's easy to jump to the resurrection and to miss the last week, that Holy Week and Good Friday, and to sit with that. But try and put yourself in Jesus's sandals, sitting upon that donkey. What was going round in his head? He was trying to tell his people in an enacted form, in a prophetic act of street theatre, what type of Messiah he was. He was critiquing the Roman Empire, but also the mirror image of that, a violent rebellion which the people wanted. And we know from history that 30 years later they rose up, and that revolt ended in the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple by the Romans. And Jesus could look forward to that, to know that their path of violence would ultimately end in destruction. So he is here rejecting the way of violence, the way of domination. I can't imagine Jesus smashing up shop windows or hurling bricks at the police, although he did get a bit lively when he expelled all the traders from the temple the day after Palm Sunday. But I don't think he was violent towards people. It was more just to property in that sense. But I can see him protesting non-violently, making his voice heard, creatively protesting against the violence of the state today. I have been on my fair share of demonstrations and protests over the years against the Iraq war, against nuclear weapons. A little aside on nuclear weapons, I think it is wrong that our government is looking to increase our nuclear warheads by 40% at the moment. I think it would be better to give a pay increase for the NHS workers of more than 1%. That would be a better way to spend that type of money. But when it is safe to gather again, I dare say I will be on more demonstrations in the future. I believe in the power of non-violent protest, and I think the new police bill is quite dangerously infringing our liberties to protest peacefully, and it may stoke up more violent protests in the future because people will feel that their avenues of protest are being restricted and will resort to other means. But what does Jesus' entry in Jerusalem say to all of this? It shows us that he rejects the way of violence and comes as a Messiah of peace. How can we be his representatives? How could we be his ambassadors today, bringing his peace into the lives of our family and friends and communities and world? We need to first offer people God's peace and the reconciliation that he offers to them. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and starting at verse 18, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God has already reconciled us and all people and the whole world to himself through Christ. We are to offer that message of reconciliation, of peace to others. We are to be his ambassadors to share that good news with others. But to be credible, we need to embody that peace in our own lives and reject the ways of violence, the violence of the state and the violence of some protesters, because Jesus has shown us a much better way, a way of peace, a way of love. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the peace that you offer to each one of us through Christ. Help us to receive that peace afresh in our lives, and help us to share that peace in word and action with our neighbours, that they may come to know for themselves the peace that you offer to each human person. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And now Margaret Williams, one of our church members, is going to lead us in some prayers of intercession.
King of glory, King of peace, we worship you, praising you and pledging our allegiance. We rejoice in your glory, in your wisdom and authority. And yet you come to us in humility. No coercion, no dictatorship. You offer us so much choice in life. There is infinite patience and forgiveness when we fail, reinstating us when we return to you. Thank you. We pledge ourselves to your service once more. We're so glad that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a humble and ordinary donkey, our servant king. We're glad for his motherly love that wept over Jerusalem, comparing himself to a mother hen, longing to protect her chicks and keep them close. What a king! Your loving care embraces all, from the least to the greatest. We would join Jesus in seeking the peace of Jerusalem today, that those with temporal power may serve the heavenly King with compassion and justice for all. When we listen to the news, there are so many in our world who need the shadow of your loving and protective wings. We hold before you the children in Yemen, living in constant danger from bombs and snipers, in danger from malnutrition and lack of medical facilities. We hold before you Myanmar refugee Rohingyas in Bangladesh, whose fragile homes have been destroyed by fire this week. We can hardly imagine what it will be like. We pray for people in Madagascar suffering the cruelty of terrorists. And we think of the ongoing coercion and cruel treatment of Uyghurs in China. We thank you that at last world powers seem to be waking up to this. If such things melt our hearts, how much more are they melting the heart of our King of Love? We pray for all those who are working for justice and peace throughout the world, that your will may be done and your kingdom may come. This Holy Week, may we again hear and respond to the challenges of Jesus. that our church may be a house of prayer for all nations. The challenge to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul, our mind and strength, and our neighbour as ourself. The challenge to affirm what is beautiful, generous, and kind. The challenge to be humble enough to wash one another's feet, whatever that might mean. And the challenge to seek God's will, however sacrificial the consequences may be. We pray that this week many people will experience the magnetism of the love of Jesus ruling from the cross. The cross with its title King of the Jews. We thank you that he was not just king for the Jews, but for the whole world and for us. Help us to hasten the day we look forward to, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret, for your prayers of intercession. And I'll close now with a blessing. Holy God, may we live this day with Christ's call to discipleship ringing in our ears. And should this day bring us pain, we pray that we may meet it with honesty and hope, grounded in the knowledge that even in the darkest place, we may be touched and changed by your love. So may we grasp with all your people how wide and long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and be filled with the very nature of God. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Thank you for joining with us. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and we hope to be back in church, but we'll be continuing with these recordings for the foreseeable future. So if you can't meet us in person, we'll meet you online. Go well and God bless.